Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day today. I want to deep dive into the subject of beauty today and the importance that beauty plays in our lives, and especially how us creating beauty within our homes will help us find contentment in our daily life and also help us overcome comparison. So beauty is good. The Lord created us to maintain, build, create, steward, and enjoy beauty. I mean, just think of creation. Nature is God's art form. And I often think that if we focused more on beautifying our life as it is currently, then it would really help us to overcome comparison and find contentment. Especially, most of my videos are geared towards homemaking, so especially within the home, as our roles of being homemakers, being keepers of the home, we have the amazing ability to be stewards of beauty within our home. And we live in a modern popular culture where beauty is either perverted or ugliness is glorified. And as that's coming out of my mouth, I immediately think of going on a college campus, and I feel like those are the two extremes that you find. You find, and I'm thinking specifically of how we dress as women, but often on college campuses, if you just drive through a college campus, you will either find girls that have totally debased themselves and made themselves ugly, or girls who are beautiful but are using that beauty that God has given them in a perverted way in order to find attention and to get guy approval by the way they dress, by promiscuous clothing. And so you have these very interesting polarities of ugliness, and you think of that with architecture. When you see a new building go up and it is so ugly, and it's like, why would anyone build this? Then you have beautiful old brick cottage style places, or brick gorgeous buildings, or stone buildings, or, you know, the whole cottagecore aesthetic, which I love so much. I love looking at cottage homes. I love looking at pictures of old cottage gardens with stone structures and cute woodsheds and beautiful garden spaces, because it brings me inspiration. It gets me excited. It gives me a vision for what beauty could look like in our life. And we don't have a cottage home. We have a Clayton home style home. It was a huge blessing how we got this house. We were offered to live here for free when we first moved here, and our intention was not to permanently move here. This was just a landing place for us, since our transition to moving was so quickly for Scott's work. It was a huge blessing. And so at that time, we did not think we were going to move here, but we started looking around at other places, and there was just not any other options around us that fit all of our needs. We wanted to have some form of acreage to grow into. And so we decided last spring to buy this. And I really did have to overcome not only comparison, because for me, this is the importance of having a vision, of knowing the direction that you're going with your life. Scott and I have always talked about how our vision is always to have land, to have animals, to grow our own food, to build business, to leave an inheritance, Lord willing, to our children's children. And so that's always been part of our vision. And so when it came time for us to buy this place, we were like, it's not perfect. It has a lot of work that needs to be done, and it needs a lot of love. And that actually gave us excitement for this place. Every time we've ever lived anywhere, our mindset has always been, how do we make this space as beautiful as possible with the resources that we have? And this was the first place that we actually owned. We rented every place up into this. We did have land that we owned in Kentucky, but we never lived on the land. We just had 11 acres of property. But this is the first actual house in America that we have owned. And so when we decided to buy this house, I had to continually remind myself of, what is our vision? Where are we going? And this house is a tool to help us get there. And I think a lot of times comparison and lack of contentment comes from feeling like you haven't gotten to where you think you should be or to where you want to be. And so you have this idea in your mind of what success looks like, and or you have an idea in your mind of what other people think your success should look like. And so if you don't feel that you've lived up to that, then you can feel like, wow, we're not there. We have not made it. But that's where you have to get back to what is success to you. And for Scott and I, success has always been obedience to the Lord. We want to be obedient to the Lord at all cost. And sometimes that's not going to look like success to popular culture, because popular culture defines success in a different way. If we wanted to have the biggest house, the best cars, the largest property, the high-end name brand purses, shoes, and clothes, then I would be working outside of the home. That is not success to us. Success isn't having the biggest house, the most number of cars, all of that other stuff. Success to us looks like living obedient to the Lord, knowing that we are following His ways and trusting that in Him we have everything. He will provide all our needs. He knows our needs before we even ask. And so because we believe that, we believe that the gifts that God does give us, this house for instance, He has given to us to be good stewards of. So, although this might not be the most beautiful, huge, luxurious house or property, we look at this as this is an opportunity for us to glorify God with the work of our hands by stewarding well the property that He's given us and to make it beautiful as unto the Lord. How do we steward this property, this house, this place, to be as beautiful as possible to give glory to God? And when you have that mindset, it actually makes it really fun, because even if God does give you something that's like, well, this isn't like exactly what I had in mind, you're like, you know what? It's going to be so rewarding when we make this place beautiful, when we use the work of our hands to bring beauty to this place. Now, I am not bashing. If you bought like this beautiful cottage place, I still have dreams of having a stone cottage house. And so there is nothing wrong with buying something that is already beautiful. But if you're struggling with comparison, seeing someone else's already beautiful and you're not happy with your place where you are, then consider it an opportunity to make a space beautiful that also not only makes your soul revived, it is healing for yourself to make spaces beautiful, but then you look at your neighbors and they find healing in you making a space beautiful. Since we've had our garden, I don't know how many people have literally stopped on the road and have told us that they love watching our garden. I mean, in some ways, I'm like, if it were my choice, our garden would not be by the road. Now, we live in a, I would say, fairly secluded area. It's not a huge trafficked area, but I mean, I would dream of having a private garden. That's not how our garden is. So I'm like, you know what? Everyone else is getting to enjoy the garden around us. That also encourages me to not leave things laying around the garden. I have a tendency of leaving empty pots around the garden, leaving shovels on the ground, just because I get distracted. I start doing one thing, planting something, and then I need to get something for planting. I go up to another area and find what I need, and I go back, and on my way back, I see weeds somewhere, so I start weeding, and then I've just left that area. That's the habits that I have. But beauty comes down to even picking up after yourself, to not leaving clutter around. And that's different, I think, when you have children. I think it's fun to see the evidence of happy children around. So I'm not saying that you can't have a home that's lived in. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am saying, what are areas of your house that you're like, well, I think I might enjoy this more if I made this space more beautiful. So let's look up the definition of the word beautiful. I have my very old dictionary. This is one of my favorite dictionaries. I have a collection of old dictionaries. This one is from the year 1936. The word beautiful: exciting aesthetic pleasure, delightful to the sense, strikingly fit or appropriate, or especially pleasing. And I like that. Exciting aesthetic pleasure, delightful to the sense, strikingly fit or appropriate, or especially pleasing. Are there areas of your home where you're like, being in this area or looking at this, is ugly. Scott has said before, he says, ugliness destroys the soul. And are there areas of your home that you look at and you think, I hate this. This is ugly. I don't like this. What can you do in that spot that you think is ugly to make it more beautiful, especially pleasing? What is something that you can do? And this is where using Instagram or Pinterest could be for your best interest, because you could get ideas from other people on what they do. We have an area of our house, we have an old shed that we eventually want to move and put wood siding on it over the metal, because I think at some point someone must have hit this shed because the side of it is busted up like crazy. It does not look good. And when you pull into our driveway, this shed is the first thing that you see. And so I originally had my gardening stand on it, and that was just the first place when we moved in here that we thought to put it, and we left it there all last season, and I've never thought about moving it. But the one day early this spring, I was looking at it and I thought, this looks terrible. This is where I put all of my gardening stuff underneath of it. And when you pull into our driveway, you just see this collection of clutter from my gardening stuff. So I talked to Scott and we were like, you know what, let's move this to the other side of our deck. And then every house that we've lived in, we have, since I've lived with my sister, this was back in 2012, ish. My sister and I lived together and we rented a house. So we had a next door neighbor and we wanted to lay out on our back patio and we wanted to decorate the back porch. So I don't know where she came up with this idea. She had this idea of using cinder blocks to build a wall in a creative way, and then have flower pots come off of it, and then we painted the word love on it. So ever since then, I have continually used that idea, because when we had our house in 2018, that was the first place we had a garden, and I wanted to kind of frame off the deck area and the clothesline area, so I went to Lowe's and I bought a whole bunch of cinder blocks and built this wall with flowers on it. It was also a support wall for our janky clothesline that we created, and it was beautiful. And then our last house, I did the same thing, because of course we moved with all of these cinder blocks. And then since we've moved in here, we weren't using them. They were just sitting off to the side. And so I had the idea of using that along the side of the shed until we end up putting wood over it and creating kind of an herb floral wall that hopefully as the summer goes on, the flowers grow up and you see that when you pull up the driveway and you don't see a busted up shed. We did that wall maybe a month and a half ago now. It was still cold out when we were doing it. If you see me wearing glasses in that video, I had pink eye that day. I have never in my adult life had pink eye as an adult. And so I didn't even think I had it. I thought I just poked my eye or something, and it turned out it was pink eye. But a lot of you may know this, my sister had told me colloidal silver, putting it in your eye, heals pink eye, and it did. It took care of it immediately. So that is something to keep in mind if you or someone you know ever gets pink eye. Colloidal silver is good to have on hand. Yeah, that's why I was wearing glasses in my video. Although I've been trying to wear glasses more often. If you haven't seen that video I did on my vision improving from getting morning sun, I did a whole video on things I've been doing to try to improve my vision. So I'll link that below if you're interested in that. Back out to the outside, making my outside area beautiful. Around the corner from the cinder block wall, I have this black tube thing. That is another thing that I got years ago at a restore. I must have paid, I don't know, 10 bucks for it. But when I bought it, we had our land in Kentucky, and I thought this would be so cool to plant flowers in. Now, I don't know what material this is made out of. It's some hard plastic. So this time, instead of just planting directly in it, as I've done in the past, I used my little plastic containers that I've saved from plants in the past, and that fit perfectly. I thought about using my terracotta pots because I like the edge that that gives, but I ended up going with the plastic because I could use the terracotta for other reasons. Again, I have an idea for hanging terracotta pots on. We have a fence around our air conditioning unit on the front yard, so I'm thinking about using this thick rope that I have and hanging terracotta pots down from that and having pretty petunias flowing over it. And this was another project that I was able to complete this week. A while ago, I saw this video on how to make these hanging terracotta baskets, or really any pot baskets, that's really simple. And so I was able to find that video. I'll link it below because it's easier to follow that than to watch what I'm doing. I actually had to do it a couple times because the rope that they used in the video was very smooth, so it was easy to pull, whereas my rope is very textured, so it was harder to pull it tight up against it. But after messing with it a little bit, it ended up working out fine. You can see that this is how it looks, and then I used another rope to then hang it around the actual fence post, which you'll see here in a second. Originally, I was just gonna do a few, like 3 or 5, but then as I started working on it, I thought that the whole fence done would look a lot better, especially since I already had plenty of plants to put in there. So I'm really pleased with the way that it turned out, and yeah, I think it'll be really fun to see as the summer goes along how the plants flow out of it. All of the plants that I picked to put in the pots are ones that should flow down over it. Hopefully they stay healthy and strong. This area doesn't get a whole lot of sunshine, but it does get morning sun. So I am really pleased with how this project turned out. I have some work that I want to do. I want to do, again, I'll try to find a photo, but that same 2018, our first garden season, I used these sticks and string and made my own trellis up another old shed wall and planted morning glory to go up it. And so I'm thinking of doing that again along that same shed wall, even having the morning glories grow over the top of the roof. Thankfully, Scott has a wood pile that he hasn't yet burned, so I was able to find all of these mossy branches. And once again, the twine we got from an online auction years ago, and I'm so grateful because I have used it for so many garden things this year. I ended up using a little thin wire again, the hard wire cloth we got for our chicken cage. The roll of wire was wrapped with thin wire, and for some reason we rolled that little thin wire up and kept it, and I was able to use that to get through that top crease of the shed, and then I wrapped the wire around another branch on the inside of the shed, and that is how it is being hung up. So I have morning glory seeds planted, and I'm actually thinking about doing the same thing on the opposite side of the shed and planting morning glories there and just having them take over this whole shed to hide its ruggedness. And then with the garden hutch, we actually got that at I don't even know what I would call it. I would call it maybe like a junkyard. It was by our land in Kentucky. My parents had come to visit. We stopped at this junkyard type of place, and they had that for $40, and I loved it. I loved it so much, and so we ended up getting it. And again, that's another thing that we've toted around since then. I went ahead and organized all my clay pots in a beautiful way. I love these terracotta pots. We got them at an auction years ago. That's another thing with beauty. There's something about having beautiful things that will last the long haul. So if you're shopping and buying new things, choosing something that you love, that you think is beautiful, that will last for a long time over something cheap, plastic, will break, is not an inheritance. Because if you think of buying things in a way of, this could be an inheritance for my children's children, you eliminate buying cheap China, Target, Walmart junk, and you start investing in things that you find are beautiful, like wooden things, wooden spoons, wooden utensils, having copper scoops for your food. I've shared before, but I love my little pantry area I have. I find it so aesthetically pleasing. This is my morning area where I'll sit sometimes and have my tea and read my Bible. And sometimes I'll just look at this pantry area and just admire it because I just think it's so beautiful. But it's beautiful because everything that I have put here is with intention. I have wooden bowls that I either got from auctions or from South Africa. I have framed artwork that's an inheritance. I have a cast iron tea kettle that my sister got me. I have a marble mortar and pestle that my mom gave me. So I have beautiful things that I surround our house with. And so every time we are buying something new and bringing something into our home, I have that thought of, is this beautiful and will it last? Because that's what I want. I want things that are not cheap, junky stuff. I want it to be for the long haul. And that's often what you can find at auctions, old estate sales of older people. The things that older people have, they have very nice, beautiful, high quality things. And I think an important part of this too is you don't have to go out and buy a bunch of things. You can use the resources that you have, even resources in creation. So last year we had this brick path that was buried. It looked terrible. You actually couldn't even see the brick path anymore because it was so grown over. So Scott and I made that a project that we wanted to get done. We dug up the whole path and re-put the bricks back down in a wider way. They were for some reason laid in like sideways. So when we laid them flat, they took up more space, so it made the path wider, which is what we wanted. And then this year, I wanted to edge that flower garden because whenever it rains, the dirt just washes off onto the brick path. So I wanted to do some sort of edging right there. And on our land across the street, we have tons of river rock. So Scott and I have been going over there, collecting the rocks, putting them in a wheelbarrow, bringing them back, and using them for different ways around the garden. So I lined our brick path with that. Scott's also been using those river rocks to build a terrace in our garden. So using the resources that you have available to you to create beautiful things around you. There's a quote that I've said often. Scott told me when we first got married, we had little to nothing. We had hardly any furniture, and I remember this so clearly. He said, "Lack of resources creates resourcefulness." From that season where we basically started from scratch, from nothing when we first got married, I'm so grateful for that because we learned the art of being resourceful, and that is something that has always stuck with me. I'm always looking for how to be resourceful in our home. And maybe you're listening to this and you think, well, it must be nice. You have an actual house that you're able to do this with. This is our first house that we've bought. We've bought property before, but up until this point, we have always rented. And so you can do this while you're renting as well. You can make the house beautiful. You can make the garden beautiful. It might be different how you make that space beautiful. When we rented, that was the season where I have all my glass jars in, was because we didn't have a pantry. So I found beautiful shelving at auctions and all kinds of different jars, and I created an open pantry. One, I had always dreamed of having that type of pantry, but also it was out of necessity because there was no pantry in that house. There was no food storage place in that house. And so out of necessity, I created the open pantry. And now I absolutely love it. The house that we live in now has lots of closed pantry, and I still have my open pantry because I love it. I just think it's so beautiful and pleasing. And that came from our rental season. So many of our plants that we have now outside came from planting at those places, whether it be in pots or directly in the ground and digging it up. We still lived as if we will own a house someday. We lived our life in preparation for when God gives us a house. We're going to live our life in preparation for that season. That this season doesn't need to be wasted. Just because we don't own this doesn't mean we can't be good stewards of it. That could even look like creating artwork in your home. So you might not be able to paint the walls, but can you buy canvas and paint on it? Or make a huge basket weaving art on your wall, or find beautiful antique mirrors at estate sales or auctions, or find old paintings, or find baskets at thrift stores and doing a basket wall. There are so many things that you can do even while you're renting that will prepare you. And I'm so grateful because I've said to Scott so many times, with how much everything costs now, I am so grateful for that season that we had where we were doing auctions all the time. We lived in a rural area, so things sold for so cheap. We got so many things for so cheap, so many tools, so many garden supplies, and we bought all kinds of things. And sometimes it would have thought, maybe this is unwise buying all of this stuff when this isn't your house. You don't know if you're gonna live here forever. Why would you keep buying all this stuff? But looking back, I feel like it was the Holy Spirit guiding and directing our steps, because all of those things that we bought in that past season has been a huge blessing for us in this season. I'm so grateful for all of the tools that we invested in that season when we didn't own our land, we didn't own what we had, and even the skills that we learned. We had a garden at our house there, and we learned so much from our 2 years of gardening there that is what our current garden is modeled after, is what we did in that season because it worked for us. And had we just thought, well, we're going to wait until we own property before we do anything, we would have wasted that time and we would have been starting now with those things. So no matter the season that you're in, you can be learning and think creatively within that season of what are the things that I can do within this place. And maybe you do own a property, but you live in the city and your dream is to live in a rural area and have your own piece of land and grow a garden. That is the vision that you have. That's what makes you excited. But at the moment, resources don't allow for that type of move or transition. So what can you do in this season that you're in currently to prepare in faith for that season? Beautifying your apartment. It could be learning skills. So you might not be able to have a garden, but can you have herbs in your window or on a balcony? Can you learn how to do sprouts? You could learn other skills, domestic skills in the kitchen. That way, when it comes time for you to grow your own food, you're very good in the kitchen to know how to steward those things. So you could be buying your produce from local farmers and learning to can those things. So then when you are growing your own food, you already know how to can. You could buy a grain mill and learn how to soak and sprout your grains, grind them, learn the art of working with fresh milled flour. What are the things that you can do in preparation for the vision that you and your husband have together for your life? If you are someone that wants to move out to the country and you currently live in a city, I think a very practical thing to start practicing is not relying on convenience around you. So that is something I had to learn when we moved out in the middle of nowhere of Indiana. The grocery store, we weren't shopping at Kroger, so the nearest grocery store was an hour away, Jungle Gyms, and I shopped there once a month and I did my Azure haul once a month. And those are the two places that I got my groceries. Otherwise, I grew it in the garden locally. We got our meat from local butchers. We got our milk locally. But as far as grocery shopping goes, it was the once a month grocery trip to Jungle Gyms and then the Azure drop, which was an hour away. So that's something that you could start learning and practicing and implementing into your lifestyle, is not becoming reliant on the convenience of urban city life, of going to the grocery the day you need it. Because when we lived in Lexington, we lived right by a Whole Foods, and that was when we were still shopping at Whole Foods. Sometimes I would just walk to the Whole Foods to go get things. We became very reliant on living right next to the Whole Foods. And so if your goal is to live in a rural area, you can start practicing not becoming dependent upon the city lifestyle, and practice putting limits on yourself to prepare for what it would be like if you lived in the country, and even see if you like that. Because I think a lot of times people glamorize country life and forget about all of the inconveniences of country life. So having contentment, no matter the season that you're in, comes from having a vision for your life, knowing the direction that you're going. And this is something that you talk with your husband over, of what are our values? Lisa Graham McMinn's quote, choices reflect values. So when you know your values, your choices are going to reflect those values. What are your values? What do you find important? That brings contentment to your home. Another way to bring contentment to your home is adding beauty to your space, making your space as beautiful as possible by the work of your hands. And that is so rewarding. That cinder block wall, when we pull up our driveway, I am always in all of it, especially as it's grown and developed. It makes me so excited. And I no longer see an ugly shed. I see beautiful flowers. Like I said, Scott has said before, ugliness is demoralizing. So if there's an area of ugliness in your life, no matter what that may be, figure out how to sort that out and how to bring beauty into that ugliness, how to make that space fun and enjoyable. I hope this video has been encouraging for you, and I hope that you have a lovely rest of your day. God bless you.